Well, I think Brother Reuben was right. What a beautiful evening to come together this way to seek the Lord together. God is faithful. He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. And so may we be among that number this evening. May God have His way. Let's begin with a word of prayer this evening. Father, we thank You for this opportunity. We thank You for the beautiful evening and just the gathering of the saints. Father, we pray. We know that You've said where two or three are gathered in Your name, You are there in the midst of them. And so, Father, we sense Your presence here tonight. What a sobering, joyful, exhilarating, humbling thought. That You're right here in our midst, Father, but You're right within our very breast. We pray that You would have Your way this evening. Father, move in our midst. We pray that You would save souls. We pray that You would encourage hearts. We pray that You would, that the drawing of God would be upon this place. Father, we know that no man comes to the Father except the Father draw him. And so, Father, be with us as we gather in Your name, as we open Your word, Father, may we accurately present Your heart and Your spirit, Father, and may it bring glory to Your name, and may it bring salvation to our souls, and may the joy of the Lord be upon us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if there's anyone here this evening who has not yet found salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is there anyone here who has not yet made peace with God through the blood of the Lamb? Is there anyone here who is halting between two opinions? You know, we've been talking this week about the things that are ours, things that we have in Christ, that are ours as we press into the kingdom of God. But I tell you tonight, there's more to it than that. It's not just what you get when you come to Christ. It's also what you get if you don't. There are consequences. There is judgment to come. And I want to encourage us this evening to think about this. As you're halting between two opinions, as you look at the cost, as you're counting the cost to be a child of God, I want to challenge you this evening that if you think the price is too high to pay to be a Christian, I want you to know this evening that you don't pay the price to be a Christian. That price has already been paid. My friend, you pay the price not to be a Christian. And that price you will pay in full for all eternity. We have a very sobering subject that we would like to bring before us this evening. I believe it's a very scriptural subject. It's from the teachings of the Lord Jesus. And I believe that this subject tonight can increase our fear of God. It can increase our burden for the lost. It's a very real subject. I want to talk to us tonight about hell. I want to talk to us about eternal damnation, eternal judgment, not just judgment, but eternal judgment. I want to talk about the lake of fire, and I want to do this evening very, very carefully. I tell you, we do it with trembling and much fear. We don't want to mishandle this subject. We believe this is a very sacred subject because it's of God. And so we desire to present it very accurately this evening. And the only way that we know how to do that is to approach this subject from the teachings of Scripture. We believe there's safety there. On the one hand, it's not our desire to scare anyone. You know, Paul said, I write not these things to shame you or to upset you, but he said, as beloved sons, I warn you. There is a warning of God that is before us tonight in this script, in the Scriptures, and I believe God wants us to have this information. And hell needs to be taught. It needs to be preached. Why does it need to be preached? It needs to be taught because Jesus taught it, and his disciples taught it. Jesus taught it to them, and it comes out in their teaching. They were moved by it. They were motivated by it. And they didn't talk about it all the time, but they brought it up on a regular basis. And this is a subject that I believe Jesus Christ knows about firsthand. The lake of fire is a created place. And you know what the Scriptures testify of Jesus? It says that without him was not anything made that was made. And it says of the lake of fire that it was created for the devil and his angels. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ brings a teaching about eternal judgment and this place of judgment, hell and the lake of fire, he knows firsthand. And may we receive it that way this evening. Jesus taught about it. He warned about it. He gave serious warnings about it. Jesus said, it is better to pluck out your eye than that your whole body should be cast into hell. He said, it's better to cut off your hand. It's better to cut off your foot than that your whole body would be cast into hell. And the very fact, I doubt if there's one person here tonight that's willing to pluck out your eye or cut off your hand or your foot. And that should just tell us the seriousness of the message that is before us. Jesus spoke about where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched. And he let some people know that they were going there. That's what Jesus said. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And he even put a serious warning to us on the relationships that we spoke about the other night. When Jesus said, if you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. He told the people of Capernaum that thou shalt be brought down to hell. And he spoke of eternal judgment and condemnation, and he taught it to his disciples. And it comes out in their teaching. Peter says that God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, and Paul didn't just beat sinners down with this thing. He didn't just use this thing to throw it around as a threat, but he knew about it. And that's our burden tonight. Paul said, knowing this, we persuade men. This is a serious thing. And it's not a warning to just throw around. Jesus didn't do that, but he knew this place was real. He knew it firsthand. He knew this place of torment. And they knew that the judgment of God was coming and they were burdened by it. And you know, I believe that people today, all men, have a sneaking hunch by the Spirit of God speaking in the heart and conscience of men. All men have a sneaking hunch that there is a place of judgment. You know, I was speaking to Brother John D. Martin a while back. He receives a lot of the phone calls. You know, Cam has a lot of billboards by the highways, you know, throughout America. And there's one billboard that says heaven or hell. And John D. Martin told me this. He said, that billboard creates about 75% of the phone calls that come in. And what that tells me is that people have at least a sneaking hunch, if not more, a fear that this place is real. So I believe this is a very sacred subject this evening. I believe this subject, more than just, you know, bringing a threat and a scare, this can teach us something about God. This can teach us something about the holiness of God. This can teach us something about the seriousness of sin. And it can certainly teach us something about the power of the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice that brings salvation and power over this place. I believe tonight that eternal judgment should teach us how serious sin is. We are living in a sin-cursed world, and many times we live so close to it that the seriousness of it kind of fades away. But we rub shoulders every day with divorce. That thing is black. We rub shoulders with rebellion. That's the very thing the devil was cast out of heaven for. And we try to make room for it sometimes even in the kingdom of God. We rub shoulders with covetousness, do we not? Every day. And immodesty, it's all around us. And sometimes we forget how abominable these things are with a holy God. But hell and the lake of fire bring these things back into focus. These things have consequences. And we know that sin has consequences in this life. Amen? I mean, when people, you know, involve themselves in these sins, it brings on terrible consequences. But I tell you tonight, it has even more consequences in the life to come. And if you think sin has consequences in this life, it has almost no consequence at all in this life compared to the consequences of the life to come for all eternity. And if there's anyone here tonight that is halting between two opinions, I want to remind you, you have a choice to make, and it is your choice. God has given you the liberty to make that choice. It's yours to make. But I want to remind you, in making that choice, one thing you cannot do. You cannot choose the consequences. They have already been established by a holy God. There are people who feel like hell is unfair. There's people who feel like hell goes against the love of God. It speaks against the righteousness of God, and they don't even want to talk about it. But I want us to know this evening that eternal judgment, there's nothing unfair or unholy about God in having a place of eternal punishment. There is nothing unfair about the righteousness of God or the holiness of God or the love of God. David said, "True and righteous are thy judgments altogether." And hell is a judgment of God, true and righteous. Let me just read you a verse here in Revelation. Revelation 16, 4-7 goes like this. "And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers, judgment, and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O God, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, they have sinned. And thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." God is a righteous God. Somehow, when we think about this subject, we need to get a hold of the righteousness and the holiness of God and the provision that he has made to us to have salvation in our heart. And then we understand that the turning away of this tremendous sacrifice when God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life, and to turn that thing down before a holy God. He is righteous in his judgment. Again, what it should do is it should strengthen the urgency within us to understand the seriousness of sin and the penalty of sin. And it should lead us to how precious is the blood of the Lamb that was shed to set us free. So I want to take a look at this subject this evening. Now I know in the scriptures it talks about different aspects of judgment. It speaks about Hades and Gehenna. It speaks about the place of the dead and the grave. It speaks of the valley of Hinnom and the lake of fire. And I want you to know tonight, I'm not going to differentiate between all of these things. There is a difference. But I want you to know that Revelation makes it very clear that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus makes it very clear that hell itself is full of flames and torment. So whether I say tonight hell or the lake of fire or eternal punishment, we're talking about the judgment of God upon the lost. I would like to begin tonight by showing you a video. I'd just like to show you what hell is like. That would probably be the most moving sermon that we could preach this evening. Now, you know that I can't do that, and I know that I can't do that, but I want you to think about it. If I could, I wonder how many of you here tonight could even watch it. I know that we would all be so glad when it was over. There are parts, maybe all of it, that would just be too graphic. You just have to close your eyes against what you saw. You'd have to close your ears and turn away because you just couldn't take it. Now, I don't want to be too graphic tonight in describing this place of torment. But it's not just the flames. There are people in the flames. And there's crying out. That's what we would be watching. And it's not just the fire. It's fire and brimstone. And there's people in it. And there's darkness. And there's despair. And so tonight, when I mention those things, I want you to know that I'm not making up any of those things. I'm just quoting the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to, you know, just say it this way. Would you give me liberty tonight to quote the Lord Jesus Christ to bring the teaching of God before us? Jude says, he speaks of the blackness of darkness forever. Can you comprehend? I don't think it's wrong for us to try to picture this thing because it is real. Can you picture the weeping, the wailing, the gnashing of teeth, the torment, the hopelessness that we know will be in this place? But I want to tell you something tonight. The people in hell, for them, the video is never over. And it's not a video. It's a real thing. You cannot close your eyes. You cannot turn your eyes and your ears away. You can't even faint and pass out because the pain is too great. You know, in this life, God has given us that blessing, I'm going to say. When the pain is too great, when the situation is too hard, man can pass out. And it's a blessing. You don't feel pain when you're passed out. That's a blessing. But there's no passing out in hell. There's no closing your eyes against the reality of what is there. Now we know that the devil and his angels will be there. And his false prophets and ministers of his. And in a way, I don't even feel bad about that. About them, because they belong there. The Bible says that that lake of fire was created for the devil and his angels. But I tell you, it was never intended for man to go there. The provision of the Lord Jesus Christ will prevent that. And as I think about some of our dear neighbors and some of our dear friends and close family that seems to be shaking their fist at God, not believing that there is consequences for the choices that they make in this life, and it increases our burden so that we can pray tonight that the Spirit of God would stir within us of the reality of this place. I think of my friends who I love going to a place like this, and it stirs my heart. And I challenge us, we all have that, I know we do, but think of it for all eternity. And when you think of it, don't just think of the torment. Think of the reason that they are there. Think of the seriousness of sin. Think of the ridiculousness of seeking your own way and turning away from God. Think of the seriousness of divorce and remarries that is everywhere around us. Think of the seriousness of rebellion that is there. Think about the seriousness to the commandments of God. When you think about this place, and then think of how precious is the blood of Christ that can save us from this place. It can be a motivation for good in the choices that we make in everyday life. I tell you tonight, when you think about hell, when you think about the lake of fire, it can make some things that seem so big to you in the flesh all of a sudden seem so small. It can make them seem so easy. Things that you want to pursue after in this life, it can make them look so ridiculous. The pleasures of sin for a season compared to all eternity. It can make things that seem so hard, things that we just about can't do, it can make them seem so easy, like forgiveness and suffering. This light affliction that comes upon us in this life, a reality of the knowledge of eternal judgment can help us make choices, good choices. And so I encourage us to make our choices in the light of eternity tonight. Well, I can't show us a video, but I can tell you a story. It's a story that Jesus told. It's words of Jesus who knew this place firsthand. It's a story that Jesus taught, and I believe we have it today almost exactly as he told it. I want to encourage us to turn to Luke chapter 16, and we're going to look at this passage of Scripture tonight. I'd like to read here verse 19 to the end of the chapter. Let's just read this passage that Jesus taught, often referred to as the rich man in hell. But I tell you tonight, this is not a parable. This is a true story. It's not told as a parable. It's given as a true story. And in this true story, we have a literal conversation of a man in hell. That should move us this evening. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot,
neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And there's a great desire to pass from that place to a place of refuge. Isn't that what the rich man wanted? He wanted out of there. He wanted to pass over. And Abraham is saying, they that would pass to us that would come from thence, they cannot do it. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I just want to make a comment about that last verse before we look at this passage. That's an amazing statement. Abraham said unto the rich man, if they hear not Moses and the prophets. And I tell you what that means. That means if here tonight we won't hear the words of the Lord Jesus right out of the Word of God, we're not going to believe, though one rose from the dead and came back to testify of the horrors of that place. We have opportunity tonight. It's before us. And so may we open our ears and give heed to the teachings of the Word of God. I believe there are some things that we can learn about hell in this passage of Scripture. But I want to tell us first something tonight about expository teaching. What that is when you take, you know, the Bible verse by verse and you just proceed through it and you teach verse by verse. And what that does is it makes very significant the context of what comes next. And I want us to know that we started here in verse 19, starting to learn about this place of judgment and torment. But you back up a verse, and I just want you to take a look at what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here. He just talking about divorce. He says, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. And that's what's on his mind. And then he begins teaching about the judgment of these very things. And if you back up just another verse, it says that it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. And so what that says is that there's not a chance that this isn't true. Let me just teach a little bit about what a tittle is. A tittle, if you take like the letter R, just the little letter R, this little hook right up here at the top, that's a tittle. Now I want you to know tonight, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. There's not a chance tonight that what is written here is not true. Not a chance. This is truth. This is the words of the Lord Jesus. He knew this place firsthand. He knew the righteous judgment of the things that put men there. And he mentions divorce. And then he begins teaching in this chapter. So I want to study this passage a little bit this evening. There are some very clear things that we can learn from this passage about life, about death, and about hell. And the first thing that we can learn is that death is not the end. Look here in verse 22. It says, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel. And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So what we have here is death, as we know death in this life. But that's not the end. I mean, death is what many people believe is the end. Think about the rich man. He died. There was probably a funeral. His friends came. They probably gathered around him. They probably said, this is the end. And they committed his body back to the earth.
We see it happen all the time. They buried him. They covered him with soil. You know, the grass began to grow. They went home. It probably looked like it was the end. But look here in verse 23. It's not the end. In hell, he lift up his eyes. Now, he's already died and been buried. Death is not the end. Are you with me? In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Not only was he alive, this man was very much alive. He could see. He lifted up his eyes. He could feel. He was in torment. He could think. He could reason. He could remember. This man knew Lazarus after he died. He's very much alive. He's very sharp. He remembered very clearly his father's house. He remembers his five brethren back home and how they were living. This man even recognized Abraham. That's amazing. I believe this man had had teaching and he remembered it. This is in hell. And I want to tell us, if there's anyone here this evening, and God forbid that it would be so, but if there's anyone here tonight who ends up in that horrible place of torment in hell, you're going to remember this very evening. You're going to remember the things that were taught. You're going to remember the provision that God made to provide to keep you from going to this place. It's going to be very clear. But Jesus makes it very clear this man is very much alive in every way. And now he's alive, not just for a lifetime, but for all eternity. He's alive, but he's dying. Dying for all eternity. And I want you to notice something here. He's not only alive, but he has a body. His body that was buried. His body that decayed in the earth. He was given another body. This man lifted up his eyes. That's his body. He wanted Lazarus to touch his tongue. That's his body. He could talk. He was in torment. His body could feel. I'm going to read verses 24 and 5 here. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And life goes on. Death is not the end. And in verse 26, Jesus makes it very clear there is no way out of this place. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Lazarus can't come and dip his finger in water and cool your tongue. You can't get out of this place. There is no way out of this place. And another thing that we need to notice is that there is no mercy in hell. Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and there was no mercy, not even a drop of water. Think of it. There's no mercy in hell. There's no second chance. There's no way out of hell, only torment forever and ever. And so, what a precious message we have this evening, that today is the day of salvation. Amen. If you'll harden not your heart, receive it. That's the plea of Jesus. But I think about, you know, no mercy. Can't get out of this place. That is the teaching of a merciful Lord. That's the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the loving Savior, the Redeemer. Mercy and opportunity and salvation is always on this side of eternity. You know, I always pictured it when someone is cast into the lake of fire. Someone like us, and be careful there, I don't mean us here who are children of God, who are covered by the blood, who are saved to the uttermost, not them, but if there's someone like us here tonight who has heard the word of God and been taught the things of God, but they've never stood up, they've never come forward, they've never repented and came forth and cried out for salvation, someone who's let the opportunity pass, someone who walks away when someone like that is cast into the lake of fire. The Bible talks about that very thing, being cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible calls it the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. We're going to read those passages. But do you know what brimstone is? Brimstone is sulfur. Sulfur makes fire hot. Sulfur adds to the torment of fire. It's a horrible place. And I always pictured it that when someone is cast into the lake of fire, that there's tremendous screaming. There's tremendous flailing and crying out and weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you almost lose your mind. You go crazy. And there may be that. I'm afraid there is for all eternity. But as I read this passage of scripture that Jesus taught, I began to realize that people actually have a very clear mind in hell. They can think. You don't lose your mind in hell at all. The rich man in hell, he was sharp. He could reason. He had a good memory. He had good understanding. And I believe that people in hell, in the lake of fire, they're going to cry out. They're going to think. They're not going to pass out. They're going to cry out. And they're going to remember. You know, when I was back in earth, you know, when there was a hard situation, there was always a way out. If you just stop and think, there's always a way out of this thing. And it just could be that you literally pull things together in the lake of fire and you think, I need to get out of this place, because you don't lose your mind in hell. You get sharp. You remember. And you begin to think, I need to find light. I need to find how to get out of this place. I need to find where the end of this place is. And you begin to search through the flames. And you pull yourself together. And you try to look through the darkness. The blackness of darkness forever. You try to look through the torment. And you come to the place where you realize there is no light at the end of this tunnel. There's no end to this tunnel. There's no mercy at all. There's no way out of this place. And you realize you are there forevermore. Think of it. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cry out, oh God, have mercy on me. And I know that hell is going to be full of haters of God. Hell is going to be full of people that curse God. And I don't know that there'll be repentance in hell, but there'll sure be cries for mercy. Jesus told us so. We read about it right here. And there's going to be people who remember the things that they were taught, and they begin to have a burden that they should have had in this place, and they cry out for mercy. Oh God, have mercy upon me. And you know you're evil. You know you deserve this. You know you turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know you sought your own way. And I tell you tonight, in hell, you're going to be willing to do anything. You would be willing to do anything. You would run up that aisle if that would get you out of hell. You know that's right. I think there may be cries in hell that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to say again, I know that hell is full of haters of God. It's full of people that shake their fist at God. But the Bible tells us very clearly that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And if it doesn't happen on the earth in this life, then it'll happen somewhere. And I don't know, maybe it'll happen in hell. But every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if the devil has knees and if he has a tongue, it includes him too. And so don't let anyone here think that it won't happen to you. Today is the day of opportunity to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Make him Lord of all. Today is the day of salvation. And I believe that some of the cries from hell Some of the cries for mercy are going to be even more serious and more passionate, with more zeal and more desperation, even than the confessions of earth that bring salvation. And I've thought about that. I've wondered about it. You know, if the cries of hell are more passionate, more desperate than the confessions of earth, why are they not good enough to bring salvation? I want to remind you the teaching of Jesus. There is no mercy in hell. There is no salvation in hell. I want to tell you why I believe there is no salvation in hell. Why no amount of desperation or confession in hell could ever be good enough to bring salvation. I want to tell you why. It's because when you're there, you can see the flames. You can feel the torment. You've stood before the great white throne. You've seen the throne of God. You can see Lazarus as it were afar off. It's all sight. You have complete understanding. Earth is passed away. Earth has nothing to offer you anymore. It's all gone. The physical body that you had in this life, it's gone. The things of earth have nothing to offer you. All temptation is gone. It's all sight. And salvation is by faith. Salvation is for us tonight by faith. Faith in the living God. Faith in the midst of temptation. Faith when this world does have something to offer us. Faith when our bodies do have temptations and feelings and flesh within them. But I want to remind us tonight that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And in hell, it's all sight. All temptation is gone. And that just leads us to Hebrews chapter 11. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Let's turn there. I want to read Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read verse 7. This is the verse about Noah. I really appreciate this verse, and I think that the Lord would have us hold it before us this evening. It says here in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now, that's a very key phrase there to understand faith. He's talking about things that have not been seen. But these things that haven't been seen, God is warning him about. And what is Noah's response? Warned of God of things not seen as yet, Noah moved with fear over something he hadn't even seen, just been warned about. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This is faith. There was no sight for Noah. Noah had never seen rain. Noah had never seen a raindrop. He'd never seen the windows of heaven. He'd never even heard of the fountains of the deep. He'd never seen a flood. He'd never heard of any of them. But Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. And by faith, Noah believed God. And Noah moved with fear. Fear just from a warning. He didn't have to see it. And it was tremendous fear that he had. He built an ark. He took on a 120-year project because he believed God. He believed the warning of God by faith. And brothers and sisters and youth, here this evening, that's exactly where we're at tonight. You've never seen hell. You've never seen the lake of fire. You've never felt the torment. You've never stood before God at the great white throne. Earth is still here. It hasn't burned up yet. Earth still has something to offer you. You haven't died. Your flesh is still here. But I tell you tonight, you have been warned of God, of things not seen as yet. And it's time to move with fear and believe God, because judgment is coming. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let's turn here to a few more scriptures. I encourage you to turn here and read along. Revelation chapter 19. Just read about here some of the reality of some of these places. Chapter 19 and verse 19, it says, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Just a description of a place that we have not seen, but we've been warned of it. Now let's just move on here to chapter 20. Look in verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." There is no way out of this place for all eternity. And if we keep reading here in verse 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." We sang about that tonight, did we not? "Is your name written there? That book will be opened. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know, I've just thought about that. Jesus told the story of the rich man who was in hell. And he was in hell. And that's not a place of comfort. It's a place of torment. But we read here where death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Even greater condemnation. Now let's just keep looking here. In chapter 21, in verse 5. It says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." I just tell you tonight, you can write this one down. These words are true and faithful. It's impossible that what we're saying is not right. We're being warned of things not seen as yet. And it says here, "He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And I just want to look at that. This is the invitation that's coming out to us this evening. "I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." What a blessed promise compared to the judgment that we've been reading about. And it says in verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now I want to take a look at this. To me, this is a little bit of a warning here. It speaks about the fearful and the unbelieving. Who is that? You know, that doesn't sound as bad to me as the sorcerers and the murderers and the whoremongers. But their judgment is the same. Who are the fearful and the unbelieving? I believe it's anyone who lets anything come between them and the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be covetousness. It could be lust of other things. But anything, it could be self-pride that keeps you in your seat when the invitation is before you. The fearful and the unbelieving all have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Not maybe as evil, not as bad as the whoremongers and the idolaters and the sorcerers and the belligerent, rebellious, who shake their fist at God. Just someone who holds back. We don't want to hold back. God is calling us to come this evening. Do you realize how many scriptures speak of judgment? The judgment of God coming on seemingly good people, religious people, not murderers and liars, but seemingly good people. You know, the Pharisees, they weren't sorcerers. They were religious people. They were even missionaries. Jesus said, you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. That's a missionary. But you make him twofold more a child of hell than yourselves. In other words, you're going to hell. That's what Jesus was telling the Pharisees. And a missionary in hell? But I tell you tonight, if we don't take a clear gospel to a lost and a dying world, if we don't exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, those Pharisee missionaries had their own agenda in mind. They were trying to bring people in so they'd have more people under them. And if we don't exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb and Jesus Christ as the way and the truth and the life, you can make someone twofold more a child of hell than yourselves. We are in the work of God. We read in Matthew 7, we don't need to turn there, but it talks about many who will say to him in that day, and I don't think they were bad people, but Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. I think I want to turn to Matthew 25. I want to think about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. I believe this parable tonight is about salvation. I believe that's what it's teaching here. To me, nothing else fits. I mean, since when do Christians not share their oil with someone else in need? We're talking about salvation. And I just want to read here. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and in their lamps. And these 10 virgins were all together in the same place, just like us here tonight. We're all together here. And there may be some wise here and there may be some foolish. But I tell you tonight, if the Lord comes this evening, the foolish that are here aren't going to go just because you're gathered together with the righteous. Salvation is for each person individually. Every person needs the Lord. When the Lord is in someone else's heart, that doesn't cover your heart. Every person needs the Lord. Reading on here, when the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, I think it's very significant in this parable, this teaching about salvation, there's a point where the door is shut. And this parable teaches very clearly it does not open again. But we have opportunity tonight to put oil in our vessels. to put the salvation of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in our heart for salvation. Plenty of time tonight. But we learn here, it's not good to think that you can wait till the 11th hour and get it done. They didn't get it done. Tonight, there is a gate that stands ajar. But there's a time when that door will be shut. And I don't have an agenda here this evening, brothers and sisters. I just have a burden that no one would have to go to this place of torment for turning down the offered terms of mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 22 teaches us about the parable of the marriage feast. And this is an interesting parable. You know, there's a man here who responded to the invitation to come. He responded. Think of it. This man at the marriage feast, he was there because he responded to an invitation to come. And I don't know who this man was. I don't know what his sin was, but he never came clean. And so I want to challenge us tonight. We need to come clean. This man responded to the invitation of God. I don't know what his sin was, but I know that he wasn't clothed with the righteousness of God. I don't think he was a bad, bad person, but he was making wrong choices, and he never came clean, and he knew it. And when the judgment of God came, it says he was speechless. I don't want anyone here to be speechless when the Lord comes. I want to be ready. I want to encourage us this evening to make choices in light of eternity. This is wisdom. You remember in Luke 16 where we read that it was told the rich man that thou in thy lifetime, brothers and sisters, that's us here tonight. Thou in thy lifetime, this little parenthesis here of your life. You know, and he said to the rich man, you received good things. And Lazarus received evil things, but he was just talking about this little period of time. And then he says, but now, and that now there refers to all eternity. Now, he is comforted and thou art tormented. And what Abraham is doing is he's just comparing the thou in thy lifetime with all eternity. And we see that comparison all through the scriptures. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's us in our lifetime. Oh, brothers and sisters, it's just for a moment. We can take anything for a moment, but you can't take anything for all eternity. But you will, because you'll have to. Our whole lifetime is just a moment compared to all eternity. Today is the day of salvation. Tonight, we want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to lift up the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We want to lift up the commandments of God, that we can be faithful unto Him. We want to lift up the holiness of God. If you read in Revelation chapter 10, it says that there's going to be a mighty angel, and he's going to come down from heaven, and he's going to plant his feet. It says the one he's going to plant on the land, and the other he's going to plant on the sea. A mighty angel, and he's going to cry out with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. That's what it says. And it says when he does that, the seven thunders uttered their voice. And then this mighty angel raises his hand to heaven and he cries out with that loud voice. Does anyone here tonight know what he said?
Time shall be no more.
Amen, brother. Time shall be no more. He declared between heaven and earth, time was over. The door is shut. The day of salvation is no more opportunity. Time shall be no longer. I tell you tonight, there's no chance that God is wrong. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words shall not pass away. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 and 7 says this, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth," if you leave this place tonight and you go back into your sin, "there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation." Not just fire. There's indignation in the heart of God. We're talking about the wrath of God here. Fiery indignation from a holy God. I tell you tonight, the flames of hell are the fiery indignation of God upon those who turn away from Jesus Christ. God, who gave his everything. Jesus Christ, who gave his all. He suffered and died. He bled. He poured out his spirit upon all flesh. You turn that down, you stir up the fiery indignation and wrath of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says this, "When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Oh, God, would you wake us up tonight? The truth of the Word of God is before us. Sometimes we forget about these things. They are things not seen as yet, but there is a warning from the heart of God upon us this evening. I tell you tonight, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Amen. The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, says, "Come." Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God the Father says, "Come." The whole Godhead says, "Come." The Spirit and the bride. Who's the bride? The bride tonight is the people of God. It's the saints of all the ages. It's the people who have already come. It's Brother Mark. It's Brother David. It's Brother Dan. It's Brother Paul. They say, "Come." That's the burden of church. That's the burden of being a part of the family of God. To the youth here tonight, your parents say, "Come." The martyrs of the ages say, "Come." They that were stoned in Hebrews 11. They that were sawn asunder. They that were tempted. They that were slain with a sword. They of whom this world was not worthy say, "Come." It's worth it all to come. Let him that heareth say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely for all eternity. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, but come. I want to remind us again this evening, brothers and sisters, friend, child, you don't pay the price to be a Christian. That price has already been paid. My friend, you pay the price not to be a Christian, not to come to the offered terms of mercy. And that price you will pay in full for all eternity. Amen. It's not a message that we just take out there and throw it out there in a harsh way. But brothers and sisters, knowing this, we persuade men. We get ourselves out of the way so that we can see the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I want to encourage us, if there's anyone here halting between two opinions, if there's anyone here among the fearful and the unbelieving. Oh, we just want to encourage you. You know, it'd just be easy for me to stand here and say, if I've been offensive, I'm so sorry. We just want to get out of the way so that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can come forth and we can see the Lord Jesus come unto me. It's unto him that we come. Amen. And so may God have his way. I believe we have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ before us this evening. And we know that it's not his will that any should perish. And so let's open the altar, for whosoever will come. Why don't we all stand this evening? Let's take our songbooks. Why don't we open to number 87? Where will you spend eternity? The door is not shut this evening. There's a gate that stands ajar, and through its portals gleaming, you know, Jesus Christ is inviting us to come. I want to open the altar tonight if there is someone who has not yet made it right with the God of heaven, received the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and put faith in the Son of God. You come for salvation. If there's someone here who just has kind of ignored this subject because they don't like it, and you just want to repent of that and make this a motivating force in your life to bring the gospel of God, to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to take it forth to a lost and a dying people. If you're here tonight and you have neighbors and loved ones, close family, just a commitment to pray in a more earnest way. This thing is real. It's things not seen as yet, but we've been warned of God. May we move with fear this evening. Let's sing number 87.